This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories.
Goddess of the Lake, written by Melina Salazar Masia, translated by Toshia Kame, performed by Chris Herron. Morgo had a hunch everything was going to be all right. That day, his black market hunting party was going to get the head of the Goddess of the Lake, a woman with a shiny body who transformed into a snake and ravaged the Azona River during the flood season. Many attempted to slay her, but their bones ended up resting among the algae. The few survivors of the attacks spoke of a metallic hum that suddenly pierced the air, and their companions were already dead. Or they were maybe dismembered, but no one wanted to look twice before taking to their heels. Some male settlers on the shores swore that in dreams a silver woman lay with them until they were drained dry, and since then they'd been free to fish in the Azona River without any fear. The testimony was given, of course, before witnesses mysteriously disappeared a few days later. Others attested to the existence of shamans of savage tribes who worshipped her. They performed blood sacrifices and raised their offspring born of the oniric mating with the gentiums until they could fend for themselves. It didn't matter whether or not all of the rumors were true. During the floods, the Goddess of the Lake continued attacking the villagers. Fishermen's boats disappeared, and on moonless nights, a luminous woman danced on the water near the settlements on the shores of the Azona River, only to massacre them later. The authorities of Western Terra would pay handsomely for the goddess's head. The black market paid twice as much. That's why Morgo preferred to deal with the latter. And if his endeavor was successful, it meant enough money to live free from want for the next 5 years. The chief hunter confirmed their luck. The sky was clear. Storms wouldn't turn the forest floor into a large swamp, although nothing stopped the Beschonicusos Morgo and his crew mounted. The animal-shaped steam machines were the ideal means of transport in Western Terra, built with metal plates that protected dozens of flexible pipes and joints. They advanced untiringly while steam circulated in their boilers. The hovercraft was for the Domini, who hated even the thought of getting dirty and preferred the paved roads to intricate paths of the jungle. The Domini couldn't navigate their hovercraft in the forests anyway, due to their size and armored forms. At the sudden sound of a military precision gallop, Morgo straightened up on his Beschonicus, a horse with black burnished coating. Behind him chugged two oxen Beschonicuses with provisions and equipment. Gathered around him were six hunters on horse machines, plus a spare one. They formed a noisy ensemble, with the clinking of metal on metal, the hiss of steam escaping the joints, and the clinking of plates in need of lubrication. It wasn't appropriate if they wanted to go unnoticed, but there was no other solution, because it was dangerous to travel on foot in Western Terra. One of his hunters, Palco, approached hurriedly. His machine didn't have the coating and grace of the one that belonged to Morgo. Palco rushed to open and close the keys that regulated the pressure at the base of the neck of the machine, and it slowed down to walk alongside Morgo.
"Everything all right back there?" Morgo asked.
Without waiting for an answer, he continued.
"We're almost there. The goddess must be in the lake because it hasn't rained in the last couple of days, and she doesn't go down to the river. We're going to camp a mile away so she won't hear us arrive. We got to bring bait to make sure she'll show up. We got a problem. Falco interrupted him. He was a Gentium, with bronze skin and wolf eyes.
Those two settlers we picked up, they think we're merchants, and we promised to take them to the nearby village. But we can't take them now. The lake is very close, and we'll be found out. They'll tell the guard that we're black market hunters, and we'll all be killed. What should we do? You tell us. Everybody's worried.
Morgo rose in his saddle to look at the end of the party. Two lost settlers, who had begged for charity, were astride the spare Bestchanicus. He couldn't refuse the settlers, because he and his crew pretended to be merchants in case they ran into undercover guards. The rescued settlers were a Gentium and his daughter, attacked by a shadow tiger. She was beautiful. Pale complexion, ink-black hair, and graceful figure. She could pass for a daughter of some dominus. Her hands were wounded, and so was her chest, judging from the scraps of cloth that squeezed her breasts together. Her eyes were bandaged. Her anguished father didn't seem to lose hope. He laid his hand on her forehead and leaned her against himself. He whispered soothing words to her, although the girl emitted no sound. Morgo admitted that his heart broke at the sight. It wasn't his habit to deny help to the powerless, as long as they were fooled by their disguises as merchants, of course. But now he saw the result of his charity as a problem. Palco was right. The priority was to reach the goddess of the lake. There was no time to take them to some village. So they would have to go with them to the camp. These Gentiums had tongues, and the father still had his eyes.
Well, yeah, this ain't good.
Morgo wiped his nose with the back of his hand and smiled.
We need bait, ain't that so, Palco? And they say the goddess of the lake likes Gentiums.
The hunter imitated his boss's smile.
All right, tell the others. I'll give them the signal to stop.
Morgo raised his hand. The hunters guarding the oxen Bestchanicuses approached them to close the keys and stop them. Morgo masterfully maneuvered on the back end of his saddle. The water tank boilers came to a halt. His Bestchanicus stopped with a series of whistles. Escaping steam wrapped his Bestchanicus in a cloud of white mist. He touched the gun he wore under his linen shirt and dismounted. His hunters were already brandishing different weapons, from double-edged daggers to electric projectile guns. Palco had fulfilled the task of communicating the orders to his men and was now at the end of the party. He grabbed the Gentium and his daughter and threw them off the saddle unceremoniously. When Morgo reached them, the man and the girl were kneeling on the muddy forest floor, back to back. Morgo unholstered his gun and looked the Gentium in the eyes. He had shallow green eyes with a honey-colored star around the pupil.
"We told you wrong, villager," Morgo said. "We ain't no merchants. We're black market hunters. It's your lucky day. We're gonna hunt down the goddess of the lake, that serpent woman who drives everybody on the Azona River crazy when there's a flood. You can help us. We ain't got no bait for the goddess. But I think we've found some."
He pointed to the kneeling Gentium's forehead. To his bewilderment, he remained calm.
"Are you looking for the goddess to behead her and sell her in the black market?"
he asked in a low voice, with a different accent and in the Dominus's language. That made Morgo nervous.
"Yes, it's funny. Very funny."
"What, Gentium?" Morgo mumbled. "Say it before we kill you. What do you know? What do you find so funny?"
The man smiled broadly.
"I will answer in order. We know it's not easy to kill the goddess, let alone behead her.
Morgo had no chance to understand the confession. Neither did his hunters. They heard a metallic buzz, and Morgo saw two of his gentiums with their guts spilling out. Palko was left without his head and right arm. Another hunter lost both legs at the thighs. It all happened in the blink of an eye. Before Morgo could react, he felt a sharp blow to his stomach, and his gun was taken from him. In a flash, the situation was reversed. He was on the ground, and the gentium he intended to use as bait stood before him, pointing the gun at him. The girl with the blood-stained bandages performed graceful movements, like someone dancing on the water to lure unsuspecting settlers to their doom, and the remaining hunters fell shrieking, diced into pieces. Dead before the same sound spoken of by the survivors of the Goddess of the Lake. Morgo perceived the invisible power buzzing near him, but the gentium who overpowered him shouted,
"That's fine, dear. This one is mine."
The noise faded away. Trembling with terror, Morgo looked at the gentium. He maintained that triumphant smile of someone who stays five steps ahead of his enemy.
"What's funny is that you were looking for the goddess, but her daughter found you first. Now you can stop existing in peace."
He turned his head with a grimace and used a voice that was his own and, at the same time, someone else's.
"Or we can allow you to exist, so you can talk about the new goddess who walks in Western Terra."
Morgo found himself nodding frantically at that option. He risked sitting up when he thought the gentium was losing his nerve, but he also watched the girl. Her skin was almost luminous, bewitching. When Morgo was fully upright, he gasped as he felt the barrel of the gun press against his chest. The gentium flashed him a sly smile.
"I was joking. It's been a long trip, and my little girl is starving."
The bullet struck Morgo and knocked him to the ground. A few seconds before receiving another shot between his eyebrows, he thought he'd been a fool. The gods were capable of forcing the gentiums to do things they weren't aware of, even offer charity to their children and serve them as involuntary food. Melina Salazar Macia is an award-winning Cuban writer of science fiction and fantasy. She has authored several novels, most recently Aliento de Dragón, 2020. Translated by Toshia Kame, Melina's short fiction has appeared in Clark's World, The Future Fire, Mithila Review, and elsewhere. Goddess of the Lake originally appeared in Celine Quarterly Magazine. Hey guys, hope you liked that story. Melina Salazar Macia is actually a returning author to Tall Tale TV. She's got two other stories up at the moment, Fragments of Memory and The Other Me. I'll leave a link in the description to where you can find them. And if you did like this story, leave a thumbs up or a comment if you're on YouTube or Facebook. Or if you're listening to the podcast, leave a review over on Apple Podcasts. And of course, be sure to subscribe. I'm Chris Herron, and that's it for today's Tall Tale TV.